In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is really at an appropriate time of the year. That's why the church has us read it now, as in all of these Lucan gospels that we've had for the last couple of months. And there's many ways that we can look at this gospel as well. If we look at it from sort of a traditional patristic standpoint, we see that St. Cyril of Alexandria, for instance, says to us that the master in this case is God the Father, and that the servant is the Son. And then he goes on to explain, well, don't be surprised by that, the Son being a servant, because after all, Isaiah talks about him as being the suffering servant, because he did, even though he was God, become incarnate, and he served in so many ways here. So the Son is the servant, and the Father is saying to the Son, go and bring in all these people that I have invited. And we see that the three categories that he talks about, ones that bought a field, and another that bought some oxen, and another that got married, are all things that are really not substitutes or excuses for not being at the banquet that the Father or the Master invites everybody to. So St. Cyril says in this case, if we look at it this way, that those particular class of people are the Jews who rejected the Lord. Because they were the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of the ruling class that had such religious control over the people at the time, they basically tried to make the decisions for everyone. And yet they did not recognize that the Father was calling them all to the table through the intercessions of the servant, his Son. And so, of course, in this gospel, we go further. He says, well, okay, the Son, the Master comes back and says, they all had these excuses. Okay, they can't come. And so, well, go out then. And go into these other places and invite them in and see if they will come. And so the Son goes and he invites this next category of people, which according to St. Cyril are the Jews who were downtrodden, poor, oppressed, religiously dominated at the time. And they, as it we see in the Acts of the Apostles, they received the word. They came to the Father through Jesus Christ. But yet, even after this, then the servant says, well, wait a minute. You know, I've asked all these people to come in, but there's still room here. What now? And then the master indicates, well, go into the hedges and the highways and all these places outside of the city and bring them in too, so that my house may be filled. And St. Cyril says, this is the Gentiles, who in many cases were pagan, all sorts of other things, yet the gospel was being opened up to everybody. And so bring them in too, so that the entire house, which of course is a metaphor for the kingdom of God, can be filled with people. For these first people, of course, had no excuse. But then the Lord gives those words that we hear in many circumstances and in many ways, even in really non-religious ways sometimes, but many are called, few are chosen. Because the many in this case, according to this very parable, means all. Because there was no category of person that was left out. Everyone was called, but yet only a few responded to it. But as we find ourselves in this particular season, it's even more imperative that we look at this parable in terms of what the Lord is asking of us. Because we know that there is a great banquet coming. We have started it in the middle of November. This banquet is going to last all the way into the beginning of February. And that's the advent of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And his theophany, finding after that. And his circumcision in the middle of that, And then finally, his presentation in the temple. All of these things, this great seamless garment of festivity in the Lord that we are invited to during this time period. And we wonder what category we're going to find ourselves in according to today's gospel. Because the Lord calls us up. Now, when we look at what is said, what do we think? What do we feel about this call ourselves? Because you know this is a very busy time of the year for everyone. I mean, things are, you know, wrapping up, aren't they? All kinds of things going on. Presents are wrapping up too. Everybody's out. They're doing things. They're shopping. They're going places. They're just, you know, completely crazy. If you were driving yesterday anywhere, you know what this is about. All of a sudden, people are busy as bees doing all of these things that have importance, as did buying a field, buying a new set of oxen, or marrying a wife. But yet, are they the one thing that's needful? Are they the most important thing that we do during this time? Or worse yet, are we engaging in these things and forgetting about what the real purpose of this season is? I love the Nativity season because I always think of this as being Jesus Christ who has the last word. Because even people who don't pay any attention to Him, even non-believers, even atheists, during this time of year are affected by this season. They are involved in so many ways in this season that perhaps they wouldn't be during the rest of the year. And yet we know that when you get down to the root cause of it, it's the nativity of Christ that is the thing that we're celebrating. That if that was not here, there would be no Christmas. There would be no rushing about, buying presents. Even the feelings of goodwill, good cheer that people have during this time of year, none of that would exist. It'd be gone. So Christ does have the last word. But for us Christians, it's doubly important to pay attention, to make sure that we are among those that are responding to the call and not putting things off because we feel like we have better things that we need to do. Because we don't have. We don't have it all. And my dear brothers and sisters, as you make your journey through life and you're at different stages, you know, you're younger, then middle age, then old age, then very old age, hopefully. When we go through all these stages, at different times, different things seem to have such importance to us that when we go through one stage and get to the other, we look back, all of a sudden, it doesn't seem as important as it did. You know, these critical things that we were dealing with, or these terrible crises in job, work, family, whatever it happened to be, we are all of a sudden feeling that, well, you know, looking back on it, this is not the big thing that I thought it was. Yet at the time, it may have pulled me away from God. And perhaps I missed a time of great spiritual growth because I was more concerned about this thing or that thing or the other thing. But you know, it's that way at every stage of our lives. Because no matter where you are, there is absolutely nothing more important than answering the call of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important. Flat out. You can't think of anything. Because none of what you do in your life is going to follow you except for one thing. Your response to God and the good works that you do in His name. That's all it's going to be. That's all that's going to matter. Everything else is but ashes and dust because that's all of it ends up. So this gospel is a wake-up call for us. It's saying, look, this is the advent of God in the flesh, the creator of the universe, He who fashioned each one of us, who holds each one of us in His hands, who we can't breathe without His assent. Everything we do is because of this God, and this God now comes to us to become one of us, to be born in a cave in a manger, to show extreme humility in coming among us to save all of mankind if mankind will but respond. But I can tell you, if the Christian people are not responding, then mankind doesn't have a chance. Because, like it or not, the world will always judge each one of us according to our own standards, not according to theirs. And many times we hear this and we think, oh, well, you know, who are you? I mean, you're not doing any of this. And they would say to us, well, but I'm not proclaiming what you're proclaiming. And you're not following it. So what we do, what we say, how we think, how we act towards other people, every word out of our mouths has got to be filtered through the light of Jesus Christ, because that's how people are looking at us. You can't proclaim to be a follower of Christ and then run off and start doing other things as if you weren't. That doesn't work. People are going to judge you for that, and strongly. And worst of all, perhaps it might even keep some people from coming to Christ, because they would think, well, I knew so-and-so, you know, a few years ago, and they said they were Orthodox Christians, and they were, ugh, if that's orthodoxy, forget it. By the way they were acting, no. Because as we hear through all of St. Paul's epistles, St. Peter's epistles, that our actions are to follow our words, that we are to live as though we had received the greatest gift in the world, which indeed we have. All of the epistles talk about living up to the high calling which is ours in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. And so in this case, follow the call that has been given us at this time. Respond to it. Respond to it in a heartfelt manner, with dedication and fervor, wanting to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, today we celebrate the holy forefathers of our Lord, the ancestors according to the flesh. And they answered the call of the Holy Spirit in their day as it was given to them. Now, they did not see everything that we saw. They did not completely understand everything that we know today. But they responded in a great and fervent way, even though all of this was not given them. Their thoughts were still a little bit hazy in terms of what was to come. But yet, the light that we see on Christmas, the light of that noetic star in the sky that shines so brightly in every single Christmas when we read about these stories, that same star was perceived by the forefathers in here. They may not have seen it up there, but they felt it in here. And even though those days are gone and the time of the Nativity on earth is past, it's still made present for us today. And we see that same star in all the saints of the church. They are the lights. The lights are everywhere. Back then they had one star. Today we have thousands upon thousands. And we're to follow that star and see where it leads us. And it always leads to something good. Always. So please, please pay attention to these things. Understand that, especially in the Orthodox Church, we talk about the transformation of the human being. Not just saying. Not just even saying, I believe, because even the demons believe. Big deal. That's not enough. But to live the life of Christ, to become like Christ, to follow Him from the manger to the cross to the resurrection in the tomb. Because that's what He wants for us. He's waiting for all of us. He waits eternally. And even though we fall off the path many, many times, and we deny Him even, and ignore Him, or put Him on the back burner, so to speak, He still waits. And at this season, more than any other, perhaps, follow the light of the star that calls us back and gives renewal and hope to all of us. Amen.